Brad Q back with you here on a Tag Team Wednesday, joined now by Stan White. Stanley, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. I'm getting over the loss. I thought they had a chance to be at home and win last night, but it didn't work out.
Stan, I mean, I guess there has to be a prevailing feeling in the city of Cleveland and in that Northeast region in Ohio that maybe it's just not in the cards at some point here. Maybe, I mean, you would think that at some point one of these teams there will break through. Maybe.
Well, it's only been, 50 years, so, I mean, it could be next year. Who knows? I do think if Love and Irving would have been there,
I agree.
I think it would have been theirs to lose at that point. But the fact that they even won two after that first game when they sort of blew it at the end and lost in overtime and lost Kyrie Irving at the same time, I thought it was going to be a four-game sweep and five at the best. And for them to win two in a row and really put the pressure on the Warriors, I thought, you know, it wasn't a complete, you know, defeat for them. It was, you know, it was a battle. They lost, they won some battles, but lost the bigger war.
So from a Cleveland perspective, though, and you're absolutely right as far as, you know, with Kyrie and, you know, Kevin Love being out. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm looking at this as a look of pride, not necessarily. I mean, yeah, I'm feeling bad that we lost, sure, but pride in the fact that, man, you know, the guys went out there, they competed hard, and, you know, we made it to this point. But, you know, the glass half full is that, okay, if we made it to this point with those guys hurt, could you imagine what it's going to look like, you know, when we retool and come back with the greatest player in the world currently?
Well, that's what they're hoping for, but there's still 50 years in Cleveland, and they're in the back of their mind, they're also saying, geez, what can go wrong next year?
Mm.
You know, I know we're favored, but we've been favored a lot of times over the years, and it hasn't worked out. You know, something is always going wrong at the last moment. You know, they had injuries. You know, they enter the playoffs with both those guys, and both of them get hurt in the playoffs and are gone. So it's a tough thing for Clevelanders to ever be too optimistic.
We're talking to Stan White. Stan, switching gears to the Baltimore Ravens as they have completed day two of this last and only mandatory mini camp. We heard from Terrell Suggs last segment, and he said yesterday that he's not sure about his future, and he's going to take it year by year. It wasn't a warning. It wasn't a threat or anything like that. But he's like, listen, year 13, we're going to go year by year here. Your thoughts on that and where he is in his career? To me, you look at the numbers and you look at the production, it's still there.
Well, yeah, and I played 13 years and was going to play a 14th until the franchise that I was with folded, you know, in the USFL. So luckily I got paid for that year without having to play. So that was my best year ever, really. you do take them one at a time at that point because you just never know how your body's going to react after another season of pounding. And at that point, I got through 13 years with no surgeries, no really major injuries, and felt like I had three young kids. And it was just time. I think circumstances tells you, your faith tells you, a lot of things will tell you when it's time for you to move on. Sometimes the team tells you it's time for you to move
right on.
But you have to approach it that year, one year at a time. Now, the difference with Terrell Suggs is he came in the league at 20. You know, I came in the league at, 22, almost 23. And so he is younger at 13 years than most people are. So his body might be able to take a couple more, 14 or 15, which is amazing considering the position he plays. You know, setting the edge on runs is always a collision. And then, you know, having to pass rush is always just, you know, you get followed on, you do all those little twists inside. He has held up pretty well, especially for a guy who tore his Achilles tendon a couple of years ago.
And Stan, you know, give us a feel of consistency when you have an offensive line that is the same offensive line for the first time in a while and back-to-back years. What does that do for the psyche of not only just Joe Flacco, but also the play caller?
Well, yeah, I mean, considering last year at this time, seemed to be the weakness of this team was the offensive line. Nobody knew who was going to play where, and you know, and who was going to be the right tackle, and was Assembly going to be able to come back from his back injury, and we had a new center that was coming in. It was completely in disarray last year, and it turned out to be one of their strengths. And there's no doubt, if you can block people, you can run. If you can block people and protect the quarterback, you can throw the ball. People will get open in this league. So having that big, strong offensive line makes you competitive in every game. It's not like, you know, you have to play out of your mind to win. If you have that foundation on the offense and defensive line, that means you can run and stop the run, then you're going to be competitive every week.
Stan, also, I know defensive back has been, you know, really talked about a lot as far as, you know, what are the Ravens going to do? They really didn't necessarily fully address it in the draft, going for a lot as far as offense, receiver, defensive back, or defensive line, tight end. But it seems as though from a depth perspective, they look like, you know, with Kyle Arrington now on board, they look like a unit that went from a weakness to potentially, obviously health has to come into play, but potentially a group of depth. And one where I think John Harbaugh can say, okay, cool, you know, we got something here. Talk about just, you know, just the mindset going into camp with a full deck of cards from the defensive back perspective.
Yeah, like I said, last year went into camp thinking the offensive line was going to be the weakness, and it turned out to be the strength. It might be the defensive backfield does the same thing this year, because you got Jimmy Smith coming back, Ladarius Webb, hopefully, you know how it is if you can't work out the whole offseason like he couldn't, mm-hmm. and couldn't get ready for the season. He basically played without conditioning last year and without the strength that he needed. And so if you get Ladarius Webb and Jimmy Smith back on the outside, and you got the additions, the Arringtons you talked about, the safeties you talked about, and I keep hearing Dean Pease say things that I don't normally hear him say. He doesn't really step out. He's pretty conservative about what praise, you know, because it can come back to bite you later if you get too effusive about it. But he has been pretty strong in his recommendations about this defensive backfield and how it's going to be vastly improved and how the defense is going to be vastly improved. And considering they were eighth last year, that makes me feel pretty good.
I've noticed that too. He's been very quick to give praise and adulation to almost every unit on his defense and every player on his defense, talking up guys like Matt Elam, talking up the defensive backfield in general, the defensive line, and that's something that's pretty uncharacteristic for Dean Pease. Not that he's negative, but he's gone really out of his way to be very positive, which tells me he really believes. Stan, we have to cut it short there, but thank you so much as always, and we will catch up soon.
All right, guys. Yeah, I'm down here in Virginia. My daughter, they both went to Stanford, so they're a big Warrior fan. So
nope.
I took a beating last night.
Well, congrats to them. That is Stan White.